Report update for Saturday, December 19th. Tonight, Danzig at Roseland, Bad Finger at the Roxy, and Joy at the Palladium and Painted Horse at Moon Dancer. Sunday, December 20th, 24/7 Spies and Warrior Soul at Limelight and Agnostic Front at CBGB. Wednesday, December 23rd, Sunroth the Knitting Factory. Thursday, December 24th, Sunroth the Knitting Factory. Friday, December 25th, Sunroth the Knitting Factory and Skedanks at Tilt Rocks. Saturday, December 26th, Alien Dreamer at CBGB and Sunroth the Knitting Factory. Tuesday, December 29th, Spin Doctors at the Beacon Theater. Wednesday, December 30th, Spin Doctors at the Beacon Theater and the Zeros at Danceteria. Thursday, December 31st, Blues Traveler at the Paramount. Spin Doctors at the Beacon Theater. Foghat at the Roxy. Little Mike at Manny's Car Wash. The Metons at Maxwell's. Big Audio Dynamite 2 at Roseland. Circus of Power at the Marquee and Diamond Gallus at the Village Gate. Friday, January 1st, Immolation, Incantation, and Entity at the Bank. And Saturday, January 2nd, Warzone, The Press, Oxblood, The Slackers, Those Unknown, and The Templars. Concert billboard can be heard weekdays, 3 and 9 a.m., 4:30 and 10 p.m., and on weekends at noon and at midnight. If you have any questions, call the station at 632-6901, and stay tuned to 90.1 WUSB Stony Brook.
love you.
I'm sorry, but our office is closed at this time. Our business hours are Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. and on Saturdays from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Please call back during these hours. Thank you.
New York Telephone's 24-hour toll-free instruction center. This system provides step-by-step instructions for using our products and services. If you have a touch-tone phone, please enter your area code and the first three digits of your telephone number now. If you have a rotary phone, please stay on the line. You will now hear instructions on the use of your custom calling services, Unicall Home Intercom Service, Ringmate Service, Home Spot Services, and Voice Messaging Service. Please have a pencil and paper handy to jot down the instructions. Not all of the features are available in all areas. You will hear a list of features as follows. Call waiting, three-way calling, call forwarding, speed calling 8, speed calling 30, Unicall Home Intercom Service.
All right. Okay.
Phone Smart repeat dialing.
First.
Phone Smart call trace.
Get rid of.
Phone Smart
get rid
call
of you.
Return and voice messaging.
Get rid of you.
When you hear the
and
name
now,
of the feature that you.
Get rid of you. Oh boy.
Get rid of me.
Yeah, you get out of here too. Thanks. Talk about overload. That's what Marshall McLuhan had in mind. Too much hitting you all at once. Well, maybe we can have a little bit. Yeah, that's nice. Good evening, everyone. Good morning. Good day. Good Lord. It's that time of year again, isn't it? This is, you know, one of these holiday-type shows, I guess. And I just think they're hitting us a little bit too aggressively this year, you know? I mean, every place you walk into, every elevator, every store, every taxi, every everything, you hear Frosty the Snowman, and if I hear it one more time, I'm going to kill somebody. Boy, don't I sound like a nasty person. But really, I mean, it'd be nice if we had like a different kind of holiday year after year, not the same one every single year, you know, the same songs. Why can't we come out with new songs? New people to follow and pledge our faith in and all that kind of thing. Every year, we just pick somebody at random. And the dates could change, too. You know, it's just, we don't think progressively. We just keep repeating ourselves over and over again. Well, I've stepped out of that because I haven't been here in a while. And that means I've been unpredictable. Being unpredictable is the key to being a threat, I guess. I don't know. Or just being strange. Well, it's been hectic. It's been strenuous. It's been one of those days, you know, where you just have to do too much in too short a period of time. So I've got to multitask. All right, now I'm going to read the paper, because I haven't done that yet. Oh, no. Game show pioneer dies. You ever hear of Mark Goodson? Mark Goodson? Never heard of him. Don't recognize him or anything. Boy, that must be stupid. Mark Goodson, pictured here at the 1990 Emmy Awards, helped mastermind concentration. Man, what a claim to fame. To have that written on your tombstone. You helped mastermind a game show concentration. And also Family Feud. Not to belittle him. Concentration and Family Feud. Well, bought the farm yesterday, age 77. There's not a whole lot more I can say. Even if I knew any more, I don't think I could say. Well, the bridge and tunnels are going up. Okay, we're all acquainted with that. Security Council condemns Israel for expulsions. You know, Israel is like a high school. I've noticed that. They just don't understand. And they just keep thinking that by kicking people out, it's going to solve everything. Were they going to suspend Palestinians for 2 weeks and then bring them back and give them all failing grades? I don't know. I don't know how this country thinks. Whew, what else? Not a whole lot. You know, most of this is pretty depressing, actually. Toll increases, fires, Serbians, or Serbs, whatever you want to call them. Pretty nasty what's going on in that part of the world. The UN is condemning the Serbs again. We've condemned them about 40 million times now. Maybe someday we'll do something. I'd like to know what the people that call in this radio show before we even give out the phone number think about what we should do, or what the UN should do, or what, if anything, anybody should do. But that would could be another episode of Genocide and Terror. The hits just keep on coming. Well, this is from Combined News Services, according to Newsday, condemning the reported rapes of Muslim women in Serb-run... By the way, it's open season on Muslims, in case anyone hasn't figured that out. If you look in India, if you look in Israel, if you look in Serbia, or actually Bosnia, Muslims. It's Muslim season. That's what it seems like. Anyway, condemning the reported rapes of Muslim women in Serb-run camps in Bosnia-Herzegovina as acts of unspeakable brutality, the Security Council called yesterday for military efforts for human rights monitors probing their reports. In other words, it's unspeakable brutality, but they're going to speak about it anyway and hope that words will be enough. In a separate action, the General Assembly adopted a non-binding resolution calling for tough military action against Serbs blamed for terrorizing Muslims in the former Yugoslav Republic. The Security Council's vote was unanimous. The guards are expected to be drawn from the 23,000-member UN Protection Force in Bosnia. Bosnia's UN ambassador, Mohamed Sekerbi, told reporters that scores of women had been beaten, tortured, and murdered. He said the Orthodox Church in Serbia had estimated 30,000 to 60,000 rapes. Meanwhile, Serb authorities released 419 Muslims from the Manjaka prison camp, calling the move a fulfillment of their promise to free all prisoners of war. It was not immediately clear, however, how many more POWs are still held by the The General Assembly's non-binding resolution expressing its support for military force against the Serbs, well, it was a close vote, 102-0. With the United States supporting the measure and 57 nations abstaining, including Canada, and all 12 members of the European community. requesting specific action by January 15th. Just something about that date, you know. The measure represented the first major split between the United States and the other Western nations regarding UN action in Bosnia. The European abstentions drew sharp criticism from the UN ambassador to Bosnia. It's kind of unfortunate when Bosnia and Herzegovina receive greater support from Latin America and the Caribbean than it receives from its own neighbors. Maybe we should be sanctioning Europe as well. And on the other side of the spectrum, Federal Communications Commission has announced a record $600,000 fine against the company that employs radio shock jock Howard Stern, but decided not to block the corporation's purchase of three more radio stations. The decision capped weeks of wavering over how to punish Infinity Broadcasting Corporation of New York for Stern's on-air behavior, which the FCC has deemed legally indecent, or illegally decent, whichever you prefer. The commission voted 5-0 to fine Infinity rather than consider revoking its license. And separately, the commission voted 4-1 to allow Infinity to purchase three radio stations in Boston, Chicago, and Atlanta for $100 million. In handing down the fine, the FCC warned that any future violations by Infinity will result in things too terrible to mention. But they could include additional fines or a license revocation hearing. Yeah. Well, things like that don't go on around here. We're not shock jocks. We're pretty predictable, but we depend on our listeners for the unpredictability. Some fun facts from the current Harper's Index, which I just found today. You know, the number of letters that must be moved to change the word Santa into Satan? Only one. Just got to move one letter and it becomes Satan, not Santa. That could be tons of fun. Price paid at an auction in October for a 1942 Christmas card signed by Hitler. What would you pay for something like that? $3,025. A steal. I mean, that's less than the person had to pay to get it in the first place. Number of members of the Young Black Teenagers, a rap group who are black. How many do you think are black? Zero. That's right. Number of Korean noses cut off and taken during a 1597 Japanese invasion that were returned in November. 20,000 Korean noses. Now, there's a story here. For 400 years, they were saving these noses? And for 400 years, Korea wanted them back? This is something that begs a little more research. Like, what are they going to do with them? It's not like there are relatives waiting for them to be returned. I mean, it was 400 years ago. Probably you'll get a postcard in the mail or something saying, hey, guess what? One of your ancestors has sort of come back. Can fit the whole thing in an envelope, actually. Ugh. Chances that a visit to a psychiatrist will end with a drug prescription, 1 in 2. And here's one that really shocks me. Percentage of first-year college students who say they favor drug testing in the workplace, 81% say they favor that. And here's one that kind of shocked me a bit. Number of the world's 187 countries that do not have most favored nation trading status with the United States. 12. Only 12 out of 187 countries aren't considered most favored nation, according to this. I don't know. You know what the average price of an ounce of cow gallstones in South Africa is? $285. And also by looking at the Harper's Index, you can tell that in 1996, Amtrak plans to stop dumping human waste alongside its tracks. And a couple others. Rocky Flats weapons plant was fined for environmental violations. They were fined $18,500,000. And the Department of Energy has paid that same organization $22,600,000 in performance bonuses. And guess how much more air pollution a United States factory is allowed to produce compared to a German factory? 4 to 1. Well, that's pretty much all the news I can stomach for the moment. It's 29 minutes after 12 o'clock. This is Brain Damage. And seeing as how all the lines have been pretty much taken up from the beginning of the show, why don't we open up some more lines? There. 632-6500 is now open. And 632-6901, area code 516. Tell us what's going on in your particular world. We're not doing teleconferences today, so don't even ask. Asking if we're doing teleconferences on a day that we're not doing teleconferences is ground for immediate dismissal. And you don't even know what we're going to dismiss you from. Tell us what went on during the storm of last week. That was the most fun I've had in a long time. I wish we could get a storm like that every year. Yeah, even 6 months. Every 6 months. Why not? Makes you realize the forces of nature that we're up against. Maybe if we had storms like this more often, people wouldn't go building their houses on beaches or at the edge of cliffs or other stupid places. It's like building your house in water and then complaining about flooding. I just don't get it. What are these people thinking? 8 degrees Celsius. That's 46 on the Fahrenheit scale. Too warm for me. Let's hope for a dramatic fall. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello, what's up?
What's up?
Yeah.
You mean personally, worldwide?
Well, didn't you go to a meeting 2 weeks ago?
Yes, in fact, I did.
How was it?
I went to a hacker meeting in Washington, D.C., which was broken up by the Secret Service a month earlier, and I'll tell you, this time they didn't do anything. They were watching,
yeah,
but they didn't do anything. And, you know, funny thing is, we were watching too, and they really don't like when you watch them. People who watch you hate it when you watch them.
Yeah.
And they especially hate it when you bring camcorders.
Did you bring a camcorder?
Several people did, let's put it that way. Cameras, camcorders, tape recorders, long-range microphones, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
If you're gonna spy on people, you know, let's all have fun.
Now about Howard Stern.
Yeah, what about him?
You think he deserved the fine he got?
He didn't get a fine. His employers got the fine.
Yeah, but of course the employers are gonna hack him for it.
Well, I don't know. I don't know how that actually works out if he's got to front anything. I think he should be more vocal as to where exactly he stands, because a lot of people seem to be standing up for him. But I don't really hear what he has to say enough as far as what does he think of the First Amendment. Is it worth fighting for? Is he going to keep doing what he's doing? You know, because we here at USB have to continue fighting that battle. And, you know, we don't get fined $600,000 and we don't get a lot of publicity for doing it, but we do get the heat.
You know, anyone walk in on you?
Sorry?
Like the FCC?
Well, I mean, they could walk in at any time. That's part of what the FCC is all about. But,
have they?
I don't know. You know, I suppose they could have. I don't keep track of everything that goes on around here. But it's not like we're trying to hide anything, and I don't think anybody at the Howard Stern station is trying to hide anything either. This is a question of free speech.
Yeah.
And you know, if he's willing to defend free speech, that's one thing. If he's just going to say, you know, things that are going to offend people and get lots of publicity for that and help his ratings, I don't have as much respect if that's all he's going to do. You know, like Frank Zappa stood up for things. Jello Biafra stood up for things. George Carlin stood up for things when they were questioned. So if you're going to be challenged, you know, you got to fight back. And I'm just wondering, is he fighting back? I mean, yeah, he's talking to Al D'Amato, of all people. I don't know why. I don't know what he hopes to achieve with that, but hopefully he'll go a little further than that.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
Now, where were you during the storm?
Well, I was kind of wandering around. You know, During storms, I do what people advise you not to do. You know, they say, stay in your house, don't move. And that's the last thing you want to do. You want to walk around and see what's going on. Went down to the beach. I was amazed at how high the tide was coming. You know, there was no beach anymore. It was all in the forest and everything. Roads completely flooded, islands made out of neighborhoods, trees falling everywhere, and power being knocked out. I mean, it's the most incredible thing. And people really are at their best at times like that. You know, they reach out to each other and actually try to help out. And it's, you know, I think things like this bring people together, and they're a lot of fun when you look back on them.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a hassle, you know, when you lose things, when you lose your power, and people lose their homes if they're not in the right places. And a lot of people build their... I mean, those people on Dune Road out there, I don't know. I don't know why they built their homes on a dune in the first place. And, you know, barrier beaches are for barriers. They're not for, you know, they're not for living your lives on. They're to protect the people on the real mainland or real island or whatever. You know?
How do you feel about Americans, like, going to Africa?
Somalia. I think that's the best thing the Marines have done in a long time. You know, if we're the world's strongest power, we've got the best military. What better way to use that than to help people survive? You know, and just seeing pictures of Marines helping to feed starving people is incredible.
Yeah.
You know, that's what we should be using our power to do, is to help people, not to take over governments and run nations our way. This is really where we're needed. And I think the same thing could be done in Bosnia as well, without too much of a military conflict at this stage. But if we wait much longer, it's going to get bigger and bigger, and it's going to be something we won't be able to get out of once we finally do decide to get involved. And by we, I mean Europe as well, especially Europe, but the United States too, because we're a major world power.
Yeah. Do you think it was right, like, for the U.S. to get in, like, to Israel's affairs and all that?
When do we get into their affairs?
No, I mean, like they're kicking out 401 people, Palestinians.
Well, we condemn them for doing that. In fact, the whole world condemned them for doing that. And that's, I think, the extent of our getting involved in it. If we want to sanction them or something like that, that's still within our rights. We can't dictate policy to anybody, but we can pressure them, certainly. It's just, you know, they're on the verge of peace talks, and I don't understand why this always has to happen this way. I mean, yeah, there were attacks by certain extremists, but those extremists don't necessarily represent either the people being kicked out or the Palestinians in general. So to punish people who are unrelated to it is childish. It really is. And it's getting nowhere, and it's already broken down the peace process, and that kind of thing should be condemned.
Not change the subject or nothing, but in what year did this become a talk show, this show?
That's a good question. You know, I don't know. It always was a talk show, but I don't know what year it started.
I got a book in.
I do know, but I got
87 Go Public. And it gives out all the non-commercial stations, and it says here that this show was Variety Music.
Brain Damage was Variety Music?
Yeah, it says right here.
Well, then they got it wrong, didn't they? But if they say Brain Damage, that means they're talking about this show.
They put 12 midnight for Sunday.
Well, no, we used to be on at 10 o'clock. 10 o'clock until midnight.
Yeah,
so, I mean, they could have gotten it completely wrong.
Yeah, they put you down here as jazz.
Jazz?
Yeah.
Does this sound like jazz to you?
Oh, yeah, it does.
Well, I don't know. Some people have different conceptions of things.
So, Saturday night, were you out, like, in the snow?
The snow was cool. It should have lasted a little longer. Yeah, I was frolicking a bit in that.
Yeah?
But, you know, imagine if all that had been snow. You know, imagine if the whole thing had been snow. I mean, I just keep brooding about that. You know,
yeah,
why is we always miss out?
Yeah,
who do you complain to? I mean, we always miss out on the snow. The temperature just goes up as soon as the precipitation arrives, and it all turns to rain. I've had it, you know. I mean, I'd demonstrate somewhere if I knew where, but it's not right. There should be snow on the ground from December until March.
Why?
It's just that's the way it should be. You know, it just should be there all the time. You should be able to go sleigh riding and ice skating and skiing, cross-country skiing. You should be able to walk across Long Island Sound.
Are you on drugs or something?
Well, no, not really, but I just think we should do certain things like that. It makes life a little bit more interesting.
Okay.
A little bit.
All right. I'll talk to you later.
All right.
All right, bye.
It's good to know you've gotten your thoughts across. 1238, program's Brain Damage. Give us a call, 632-6901, 632-6500, area code 516. And yeah, we got open lines. Good morning.
You're a fucking dick.
Good morning.
Lou.
Yes?
How you doing?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm fine, sir, and you?
Sorry?
I'm fine, sir, and you?
I'm fine, too. You're just going to have to get your dialect a little more, you know.
I'm sorry, sir. It's just a late night and stuff.
Yeah, it's just that, you know, Americans have a low tolerance for different dialects.
Yes, sir. Well, me too, sir.
Okay, well, that's good. At least we have that in common.
All right. Well, anyways, I was calling about the Christmas season.
Yeah?
Yes, Christmas is a time of love and joy, the spirit of giving, and the time our family get together. This year's is having a rump roast.
Really?
What?
I said really.
Yeah, rump roast. Tastiest part of the squirrel. Well, anyways, here my family members, my very good friends. Hello?
I'm still here, hanging on every word.
Oops, sorry, sir. Me and my family members, my very good friends, like Steve, Rufus, Vinny, Nick, Reggie, Sammy, Mike, Leroy, not to forget my favorite cousin, Rodney, who's in the neighbor's front yard. Sorry, Mr. Glue, he's my neighbor. We recreate the birth of Christ.
Recreate?
Steve, Vinny, and Nick are the three wise guys. Leroy is Jesus, and everyone else are the barn animals. Cousin Rodney acts as the perfect guess. Next, we exchange gifts. It's a fun part of Christmas, don't you think so, sir?
Well, the way you describe it, it just makes it seem so much better than it really is, yes.
Yes. I don't know if it's a myth, but Leroy always gets a watermelon for Christmas.
Uh-huh.
I've been having trouble looking for a gift for Cousin Rodney. I already got him a first aid kit last year, but I don't know what to get him this year. Do you have an idea, sir?
An injury, perhaps?
Yeah, that's pretty good. That's a funny one, man. But,
it's good to...
He's a bad man.
Things that, you know, can go and work with the things you've given in the past.
Yes, sir, I believe so, sir.
Uh-huh. Well, you don't have to call me sir, at least not twice in the same sentence.
Okay, sir, I won't... Oops, sorry, I'm doing it again, sir. Oops.
Yeah, just see A Few Good Men, it's a good film.
Okay.
They say sir a lot in that film. I counted about 500 times they said sir in that film.
I'd have fine, sir, I do, thank you, sir. Oops, again, I did it.
It's okay, but, you know, it's something to watch.
Okay. Well, I want to wish those what you wish, a Merry Hanukkah, and those like me a Happy Christmas and a Happy Chinese New Year. By the way, whatever happened to Sammy? He didn't come over for the Halloween chicken and rib roast.
You know, I haven't heard from Sammy in a couple of years.
Yeah.
There's certain USB listeners just sort of fade away, you know?
Well, today was pudding day, so Ed would let me a quarter. Pudding tastes like 43-year-old slab of peanut brittle.
Well, you know, that's when it's time to clean out the refrigerator, I say.
Yes, I do believe so, sir.
Yeah.
So, doing it again, sir.
Yeah.
It's a mighty fine bad tobacco habit of me.
I couldn't have said it better myself. I wouldn't have tried.
Yes, sir.
Well, okay, I guess there's nothing left then but to wish you the best of the holiday season.
Hey, you too, sir. And are you Jewish or like me?
I'm not really sure, to be honest.
Okay.
It's a question that, you know, I mean, it might tell you on your birth certificate, but, you know, it's something that's written in a much higher authority, you know? Something that you gotta really refer to some reference sources.
Me, what I wrote down faded away in my hand a couple of years ago, so I don't quite remember.
Yeah, I guess it's not really that important.
Okay, sir.
All right.
I'd like to say one more thing.
Go ahead.
Right. This is to Sammy.
Go ahead.
Right. Now, Sammy's coming over for the Christmas roast, right?
Yeah.
The rump roast. And, well, he's supposed to bring the peanut brittle, and if he don't, I'm going to have to bust his ass one more time, okay?
Well, where's he going to get peanut brittle this time of night?
Well, I was thinking he could go to Cracked Up Carla at the corner.
Uh-huh.
But, she might be doing something bad, so, I'd expect he to go somewhere else.
Okay, well, if anybody has peanut brittle, they can call in, and I'm sure we can figure out a way to get it to him.
Well, yeah, look out for Steve and Edward and Sammy, because...
Well, we always do. In fact, I think there's signs up at the post office to look out for them.
Like I said, today's pudding day, and if they can find a quarter, they might call.
All right.
Don't be surprised if they call Collector,
Okay, well, you can't call collect to these numbers. You know that. You can't even try to call collect to these numbers.
Can't.
Nope.
It's not an 800 number. Don't believe so, sir.
Yeah, well, you can't do it. You can't do it.
Why can't you do it, sir?
I don't know. Well, okay, I'll tell you what. I'll try to find out.
Well, find out now.
All right, I will.
I'm curious.
All right, you listen to your radio, and you'll find out what we know.
But I want
to
find out now.
You'll find out in a couple of seconds.
Couple of seconds? How would I do that?
Well, you listen to your radio, and you'll hear the answer come over your radio through the magic of this radio thing.
That's mighty fine, sir. Thank you very much, sir.
Thanks so much for calling.
I could be so knowledgeable like that, sir. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you, and I don't think I can take another thank you, but that's very nice. Yes, thank you all for listening. Why can't you make a collect call to us? I don't know. It's not our idea, but it's something that in our infinite wisdom, the phone company and the university has decided. I'm going to just simply call us, collect, and see what happens. I hate victimizing operators like this, but there's no choice.
New York telephone.
If you want to place a collect call, dial 1-1.
All right, here we go.
To charge
1-1.
At the customer's request, collect calls may not be made to this number. Please hang up and try another billing option.
Now, we're the customer, and we never made any such request, but when you're in an institution, like a mental institution, which is what this college is, it's what any college is, I guess, decisions are made for you. And that decision was made for us, and that's all there is to be said about it. Good morning.
Hello.
Go ahead.
Hey, how you doing?
How come it sounds like you just picked up your phone?
Oh, yeah. Well, I have hold on my phone.
Uh-huh.
I don't really want to have that annoying ringing in my ear until you pick up.
And you were on speakerphone, weren't you?
No.
Well, you had a speaker. Obviously, you wouldn't have known when you pick up the phone.
I have a speaker on my radio.
Yeah, but how did you know it was your phone that got picked up?
Because no one said anything.
So you were waiting until you heard a pause on the radio, and was your signal.
I was waiting for you to, say something that would hint on that you would go to another caller.
Uh-huh.
But you didn't.
Okay.
So I didn't pick up my phone.
Well, it's very astute of you, anyway. Well, what's on your mind now that you have picked up the phone?
I'm sick as a dog.
Sick as a dog. Well, that's another thing that comes at this time of year, is sickness.
Yeah.
Everybody coughing and hacking and wheezing and sneezing.
Well, that's what you happen when you go sleigh riding.
Well, nobody went sleigh riding. Did you go sleigh riding?
Yeah.
Where? When?
Last Saturday.
Was there enough snow to do that?
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess there was, just for a little while, but it was raining a lot of the time.
Yeah. Well, there was a bit of snow.
Uh-huh. And where do you go sleigh riding? Where are the good hot spots around here?
I went to, Tacan Elementary School.
Uh-huh.
And that's where I went.
Yeah? Is that the one with the real steep roof?
Yeah. Not the roof, just the hill.
Oh, just the hill, huh?
Yeah.
Not really living dangerously yet.
No, I wasn't, airborne at all.
Uh-huh. Well, you know, maybe it'll be a long winter.
Yeah, I don't foresee much more snow.
You don't foresee much more? It's only December.
You know why?
Yeah, why?
The government has the ability to manipulate the weather.
You know, this government keeps getting in the way of just about everything.
Yeah.
You know?
They manipulate it because it's cheaper for them. They don't have to buy plows and stuff like that.
Well, they already bought the plows. The plows are sitting there. I see them.
Yeah, but they don't have to buy new ones. They need gas to run them and stuff like that.
Well, yeah, that's true, but, you know, we pay taxes on all the gas, and I don't know. They don't have to plow the roads, you know. They could just leave the roads.
Yeah, but then the public would be, in an uproar and stuff.
Yeah, I suppose. So it's all a plot.
It is.
What a revelation that is.
Government's behind everything.
Uh-huh.
But anyway.
Well, I don't know if it's behind me, but, yeah, it's behind a lot of things.
Yeah, but if they don't like you, they could just tell the FCC to just shut you down.
Uh-huh.
So, you're under their thumb in a way.
Yes, don't think that we forget that for a minute. We always have the government looking down on us. It's there, you know?
Yeah.
Like the moon, except it doesn't rise and set, and it's not full or half. It's just always there.
Just always there.
Always
there. Never goes
away. Never goes away.
And even in an eclipse.
There's no eclipse of the government, my friend.
Well, maybe revolution.
No, the government is not an astronomical body. The government is omnipotent.
I wouldn't go that far.
It's something that you can never get away with from. You can never get away from it.
You could, but it would just be really hard.
How could you?
A revolution.
That's an idea, but how does one do such a thing?
If we knew, there would have been one already.
That's very profound.
I suppose.
Yeah.
When I think of a revolution, I'll have one.
You have your own personal revolution.
Yeah.
Yeah, those are the best kind, the personal ones.
The internal, mental.
If you can make us kind of a network out of it, then you might have something.
Yeah. Oh, on the subject of Bosnia.
Oh, this ends the conspiracy section. Yeah, go ahead.
You know what we should do? Send the U.S. Navy there and block all their ports. And tell them if they don't stop the fighting and killing and stuff like that, that they won't get anything in or out of their ports. And
well, you know, there should be some sort of a blockade going into, not Bosnia, but Yugoslavia, which consists of only Serbia and Macedonia? Is that the... Well, whatever. Whichever one that is. Now, Macedonia is the one that declared independence.
Oh. Well, if we stopped all trade, they realize that economic collapse is, like, you know, imminent, unless they, like, stop the genocide or whatever.
Montenegro, that's it.
And
yeah, I mean, that's only fair in the 20th century.
But that would never happen.
Why not?
Because the public wouldn't allow it.
The public wouldn't allow a simple blockade?
Yeah, because they would see it as an act of, like, imperialism and stuff like that.
Yeah, but you see, I think the first step has to be made by the Europeans, really, and I can't understand why they're hedging on this so much, you know?
Yeah.
It's a pretty simple thing to do. I mean, that's what NATO is for.
Yeah.
And we're just not using it.
Yeah, like the U.S. and the British Navy could do it, no problem.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we're not talking about a border dispute. We're not talking about even a civil war. We're talking about genocide.
Yeah.
It's really happening. It's you know, hundreds of thousands of people are being killed.
Why can't Congress see
that? Concentration camps.
Yeah.
The whole shtick, it's all happening all over again. And I don't know. These aren't the chosen people, perhaps, but, you know, they're pretty good people nonetheless. I think we should care.
But Congress is, as usual, blinded by bureaucracy.
Yeah, well, you know, it's like you got a good TV show, but doesn't have popular appeal, so there's nothing the networks can do. Now, this is something that obviously is worthwhile pursuing, but they just don't have that hook. You know, they don't have that selling point, so they just can't sell it to the public.
Yeah, I figured the genocide thing would, like, put it over the top. But
you'd think that, wouldn't you? You'd think the genocide thing would be enough in this day and age, but no.
But the public just doesn't care.
It's just, well, we've seen genocide. We've seen genocide in Cambodia and, you know, parts of Africa.
Nothing new.
It's got to be something different, you know? But, you know, what I don't understand is all this hoopla about Kuwait. I mean, you know, I don't think there's anybody left that is going to deny that we went in there for oil and nothing else.
Mm.
But I remember at the time, we were so concerned about human rights and about people being, you know, the mass rapes there and the horrible crimes, people being slapped across the face and all kinds of horrible things going on. And now we have something that's 100,000 times worse, and we're just turning the other way.
Well, there's no oil in Bosnia, so...
I know. That's kind of sad. Makes you want to just get oil over there somehow to wake these people up.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you, you know, it also makes you want to figure out a way to get weapons to these people because they can't defend themselves.
Oh, yeah.
And if nobody's going to stop it, then at least give them a fighting chance.
Yeah. Well, that's the government for you.
I don't know. It seems weird to be saying these things, because I'm a pacifist for the most part, but you just can't... It's like Malcolm said, you know, if somebody does wrong to you, you got to lift up your hands and keep them from doing wrong to somebody else, words to that effect.
Yeah.
And it makes sense, you know. It's all fine and good to be passive and to, you know, to preach nonviolence and to be Gandhi-ish to a degree, but when it's obvious that's not working, you got to stand up and do something else.
Yeah.
And that's what Palestinians are doing. That's what people all over the world are doing when, you know, when they're not being heard, when reason doesn't work anymore.
Mm.
You got to shout a little bit.
Yeah. It proves that there is an actual need for a military. And when... Congress, the public, an old default in society. I don't know.
I don't know if it's the public so much, because the public really hasn't been asked all that much.
Yeah. But I guess, like, Congress and the government is afraid that that people will, you know, like, if we did some military action in Yugoslavia, the public would, like, deem it like an act of imperialism or whatever.
Well, I'll tell you, what's going to happen next is this Greater Serbia move is going to go for Kosovo, which is the province that has Albanians of all people in it. And at that point, you're going to get involvement by, of course, Albania, Greece, Bulgaria, and who knows who else.
Yeah.
And then it's going to start turning into something really, really big that we won't be able to control, and we're going to wish we did something now and we still could have stopped this.
Well,
so I just wish they'd wake up, you know, to this already.
Yeah, well, I don't see that happening in the near future.
Uh-huh. Well, it should be an interesting next couple of years. You know, we thought it was all going to end with the Cold War ending, but it's unleashed a lot of Pandoras, let's put it that way.
Yeah.
And if things get any worse in Russia, too, I don't want to think about what could happen there.
Yeah. Who is eating there? Not many people.
Who's what?
Who is eating over there? Not many.
Not too many. It's going to be a hard winter.
Yeah.
And it's a lot of strife and people's patience are kind of at an end.
Yeah.
And I don't think we're helping out nearly enough, and I don't think the rest of the world is helping out nearly enough. This is what we wanted. This is what we were fighting for 30 years, you know.
And look where it got us.
Well, now they've virtually conceded everything, and we're not willing to help them stand up.
Yeah.
You know, we want them to sort of prove themselves, and of course it's not going to really work out if we make them do everything themselves.
Yeah. Well, that's society for you.
Uh-huh. Well, I don't know. Maybe it's just fate.
Yeah.
So anything else on your mind?
No, not really.
Okay. Well, listen, thanks for calling.
Yeah, no problem.
All right, be good.
Later.
The world is a scary place, isn't it? A lot of things going on and too few answers. It's 12:55, 5 minutes to one. The program is Brain Damage on WUSB in Stony Brook. And in Somalia, a naval force carrying U.S. and Belgian troops was expected to land at the violent, torn southern port of Kismayu. That's what it's called, Kismayu. Okay, Kismayu. In preparation for the second major amphibious assault of the humanitarian mission, the landing was scheduled to occur at dawn on Sunday, opening the way for food shipments to the starving in southern Somalia. Wholesale looting and retail looting and fighting of all sorts between clan factions have virtually halted relief efforts recently in, Kismayu, an important gateway city. How important can it be if it's called Kismayu? I don't know. Anyway, it's about 240 miles southwest of Mogadishu, which sounds like Paris next to Kismayu. U.S. Envoy Robert Oakley visited Kismayu. The Associated Press likes this name a lot because they just keep saying it. Visited Kismayu and talked with authorities. He visited, Baidoa on Tuesday, a day before that city was secured by foreign troops. Actually, it's pronounced Baidoa, I'm sorry. In other developments, the Marines say they will escort the first food convoy to Baidoa in more than a month on Sunday. And British news reports say President Bush, British Prime Minister John Major have agreed to propose that U.S. warplanes enforce a no-fly zone over Bosnia. The Sunday Times says, not our Sunday Times, their Sunday Times, the one in London. Probably never seen it. It's quite a paper. Yeah. Anyway, the Sunday Times says Bush and Major have decided to push for a U.N. resolution that would give Serb forces 15 days to stop flying military aircraft over the former Yugoslav Republic. The paper says any Serb aircraft flying inside the zone after the deadline would be shot down by American F-14s from the aircraft carrier USS Kennedy, which is now in the eastern Mediterranean. The UN Security Council is expected to authorize military enforcement of the no-fly zone over Bosnia next week. Bush and Major are meeting at Camp David in the Maryland Mountains. The White House is declining to comment on the discussions. Let's see if there's anything else worth looking at here. Okay, this is definitely interesting. It's going to affect every last one of us. Those recorded sales pitches over the telephone aren't going away just yet. A federal court in Oregon has temporarily blocked a law that prohibits recorded telemarketing calls. The law is supposed to go into effect on Sunday, today. An attorney for the FCC says a court in Portland, Oregon, issued the temporary injunction pending the outcome of a lawsuit by the telemarketing industry. The new law would have made it illegal for companies to use recorded telephone pitches unless they first obtained permission for the call. Recipients could have collected as much as $1,500 in damages if the calls persisted. I can't tell you how many times I've gotten calls like that. Especially the sleazy ones that say, you know, you just won something incredible. I can't tell you what it is, but you've got to call me to find out what it is. You better call fast because I'm going to give it to somebody else. And all you have to do is call this 900 number. And yeah, the 900 number costs $75, but that's nothing compared to what you're going to get once you call the 900 number. But I can't tell you what you're going to get. Oh, you'll get something, but I can't tell you what it is. Just call. Yeah, call now. And then one number up from you rings right after that. And then one number up, et cetera, et cetera. And if you're lucky, you'll get a steak knife or something. Not really worth however much the call cost, but guaranteed to make you feel better. And they don't have people doing this. They just have machines that go and make these recordings and call people sequentially and terrorize them. And sometimes they break and they call you at 3 in the morning. Whew. And they fill up space in your answering machine. You know, the funniest thing in the world is when your answering machine is talking to a recorded sales pitch, and neither one of them are paying any attention to the other one. Your answering machine is saying, please leave a message at the sound of the tone, and the sales pitch is saying, you have to call this number right now. There must be we need a word for that. Some kind of electronic mishmash that we're all captive to. And then it goes and fills up space on your tape, ties up your phone line. And then we have junk faxes and all kinds of horrible things. Hey, the 20th century is turning into a nightmare. Whew. Anyway, how about this? A poll suggests most American women feel they enjoy more rights than they did 10 years ago, but shy away from the feminist label. Of the 750 women polled by Newsweek, 79% said they are better off than they were 10 years ago in terms of legal rights and status in society. Asked if they consider themselves feminist, 61% said no, but 57% also said that the women's movement has done a fairly good job of improving their lives. Most, and by most I mean 66%, said that men generally do not understand the issues that concern women the most. Still, 58% said men have become more sensitive to the problem of sexual harassment. That nationwide poll is part of a Women of the Year feature due on newsstands Monday. The margin of error is plus or minus 4%. 1 minute after 1 o'clock. This is Brain Damage. Good morning.
Yo, dude, what's up?
Good morning.
Eric, you were talking about revolution before?
Yeah.
Well, I just want you to know Big Brother is watching, Emmanuel.
Yeah, I see him. He's right over there. What's your point?
Wait. Who is that guy you were with last week?
What guy I was with last week? I wasn't even here last week.
I mean, 2 weeks ago.
Was I here 2 weeks ago?
Yeah, there was a guy in...
I don't think I was here 2 weeks ago either. I haven't been here in a while.
Oh, the last time you were here, you were with some guy.
I was?
Yeah. What was his name?
I was here with some guy. I don't remember. What were we talking about?
I don't know.
There's 1,000 people that work at this radio station. It could have been anyone.
You came in late that time.
I came in late this time, too. You got to come up with something a bit more that's going to stick in my mind.
Well, I don't mean to be mean or anything, but he sounded like a homosexual.
Really?
He did. He did, you know, the typical way they talk.
Uh-huh, the typical way they talk. What might that typical way be?
Well, I think that's degrading to give an example.
Well, it's nice to know you stop at some point, but...
Would you care to express your sexual feelings? Are you a homosexual or a heterosexual?
Well, I would express my sexual feelings, but I have to be in the mood to express them, and I'm certainly not in the mood now. Good morning.
Oh, hello.
How you doing?
I just wanted to know, how did you react the first time you heard the phrase ethnic cleansing?
Well, I said, wow, Soundbite City, that's going to be a good one. But, of course, the actual words itself are terrible. I mean, look at what they're saying. They're taking an ethnic race and they're wiping it out of existence. You know, making it sound nice and clean, like, oh, we're going to give you a bath, you know, like they send people to the showers in World War II.
Oh, yeah, go into the showers. Yeah, everything will be okay.
Yeah, everything will be okay for some of us, but not for all of us.
Yeah.
I don't know if they're using ethnic cleansing, you know, in Bosnia itself, but, you know, the rest of the world is hearing that.
Well, because what was the whole point in studying the Holocaust and studying World War II? It's to make it not happen again.
Mm-hmm. Right. Those who do not remember history are doomed
to
repeat.
We should have just done something right away. I don't know what. Just stop it somehow. I don't know.
Well, you know, I don't like the idea of America as world protector, and we shouldn't be, but...
But it shouldn't happen.
Yeah.
And if we're the ones who have to go in there and stop it, then it should be us to stop it. I don't think that we should be the ones to do it, but someone has to do it. If not us, if no one's going to do it, we have to do it.
Why can't the United Nations do more? That's what I can't really understand.
The United Nations doesn't have any power.
Why not? Why don't they have power?
Good. The United Nations should have enough power to be able to control every nation in the world.
Uh-huh.
But it will never have that power because we're not the world's not going to unite enough to give the UN that kind of power.
That's the unfortunate reality, and that's something that we're going to have to overcome if we expect to get anything done. I mean, the United States can't walk away from the world court when it rules against it, and we have, and neither can other parts of the world. And if they do, they should be sanctioned and condemned for that.
Yeah,
it's you know, there's absolutely no power. Yeah, without power, you can't enforce any of these. Moral rules that we want to
Well, the U.S. is enforcing all of these rules.
Yeah, and I am uncomfortable with that. I mean, it's good to see the Marines over there in Somalia, but...
yeah, that's great. Let's pay our Marines to go feed starving people.
Well, I think it's better to do that than to,
to
bomb cities.
I'm not for Army. I'm not into Army. I'm not into government.
Right.
But
it's kind of changing the perception of what it's all about.
Right.
It's a different role.
I think that government should have no power, but then again, once government doesn't have enough power, there's too much chaos.
Uh-huh.
Well, if there was like a world government, which is what I want to have some eventually, which I'll never see, but might end up happening.
Yeah.
But then, you know, it could they try and take over and have people have no power. You know, there's no way of evening out the power and still have no chaos in the world.
Yeah, I know. Well, we have to understand each other a lot better. You can't possibly trust somebody if you don't understand them. And I think we have so many races, so many cultures, and we just kind of don't really delve into them. I'll give you an example, okay? And this is kind of a fleeting example, but the film Malcolm X, right? I don't know more than, say, one white person other than myself that has seen that film. Why is that? Why are white people so afraid to check out a different kind of culture? And I'm not saying black people aren't afraid either.
I wanted to check it out. I just haven't got around to it.
Well, I mean, it's not going to be around forever, you know.
I think it was like 2 weeks ago they were talking about it. And I'm like, everyone's calling up and saying they saw it and then not knowing a thing about the movie.
Uh-huh.
Which is stupid. That's even worse than being able to say, no, I didn't see it.
Uh-huh.
That was awful.
Yeah, it's just, you know, people have to check out things a little bit more. That's what I like about Stony Brook here, because you're kind of... not forced so much, but you really don't have much choice. When you're surrounded by people from all over the world, you have to learn something. You do. And you don't just learn in the classroom. You learn all around. You see what people from different parts of the world do and think and say. And that's what it's all about. You get something out of that. It's probably the most valuable thing I've gotten out of this place.
Well,
it's a shame the rest of the world can't
do
that. Sorry?
You've traveled a lot?
Yes, but what do you think gave me the desire to travel? You know, it was meeting people from all over the place.
Meeting people... all over the
realizing that people from other parts of the world are not your enemy, and, you know, don't hate you and are not something to be afraid of, and that different ways of life, even within our own culture, are not something to shy away from. It's better to learn about them.
Yeah. Well, let's see. Oh, yeah, and these faxes that I just got. They sent me the same fax like 19 times, just the same thing, repeating page after page. There's nothing I could do about it. They used up my paper.
Really? What was it, an ad for fax paper?
It was an ad for one of these telemarketing firms.
Can you imagine that, getting an ad for fax paper? Have you run out of fax paper recently?
Yeah.
They
like
send you 100 pages?
Because I'm not here. If I was here, I would have cut it off. But,
uh-huh.
You know, I'm not here.
Well, now, sometimes they print the fax number that it came from on the top of the page. Did they do that here?
No. There's There's nothing on it.
Nothing at all, huh?
And I had already gotten a call after that. I tried to do that at Star 69 to fax them back or find out, you know, what the number is.
Right.
If if you Star 69, then the phone number shows up in your phone bill.
Right. What kind of fax machine do you have?
Let me see. It is a Panasonic.
Ooh, I don't know about those.
Brother.
Does that have an answering machine attached to it?
Yeah.
Okay. It's possible you might be able to get a listing of, say, the last 35 or so faxes that were sent both in and out. And sometimes you get a number on that list that you don't get on the top of the page.
What are you talking about?
Well, there's a way to sort of get a summary of all the faxes that you've gotten in, say, the last few days.
Yeah, it'll give me the title, the heading from every fax that came in.
Okay, sometimes they give you a phone number, and that phone number doesn't show up on the actual sheet. So you might want to look at that, and if you can figure out which fax it was and what time it came in, you might get the number after all.
Oh, that'll be cool.
Yeah.
Be able to fax these people
back.
Well,
now, what do these people say?
It's, where is it? If I could find it, I'd love to read this. It's just this, it was a telemarketing thing. They wanted, because it's a business listing, the phone.
Well, no, wait a minute. If it's a telemarketing thing, it stands to reason they would give a number to get back to them at, right?
Yeah, but I haven't been able to get back to that.
No?
I also got a,
But don't you see, that will lead you to the fax machine.
Right. I also got a chain letter on the fax machine.
Got a chain letter on the fax? I've gotten chain letters on the internet, through computers.
I don't know. Because a while ago I had given out my fax number when I was into getting all these, like, junk mail on the fax machine.
Uh-huh.
It was, like, the greatest thing, getting, like, mail from all these strange people. But it's getting pretty stupid now.
Yeah.
The number's gotten spread out too far.
Yes, that does have that effect sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, it was cool getting, like, these jokes and all these, like, fake flyers, you know, like the Jesse Jackson for president thing and all those stupid...
How did you get your number spread?
A couple people I knew who faxed out to different... You know, I got a couple different phone numbers of people with fax machines, and I'd fax things to them with my number on it. You know, making sure that it leaves my number on it. And they'd, you know, fax to other people the jokes that I faxed out, you know. Stupid cartoons or whatever. And my number, you know, went from person to person, and people started faxing to all the numbers that they knew.
You know, you never faxed us anything here.
Oh, I don't know the number.
That's because we don't have a fax here. You see, that's a little steps like that are what you need to protect yourself.
I know a lot of different places with faxes, but I didn't know of the number at Stony Brook.
Uh-huh. No, we did not have a fax machine here because it's just one too many things, you know? We have enough trouble changing the AP paper. So the fax paper is something...
Yeah, people would go nuts on your fax machine, though.
Yeah, it would be ridiculous. And that paper, you know, it doesn't store very well either, you know? It turns yellow and it smells.
Oh, no, you don't have a problem if you keep it, in plastic in a dry place.
Yeah, but who wants to do that?
Out of sunlight.
The future is in plain paper faxes, but they're too expensive.
I'm still trying to straighten out these curled up pieces of paper I get.
Yeah, it's not, you know, not a viable option right now. I mean, it's what everybody's using, but it's not the future.
What, fax machines?
The kind of fax machines that we have. Fax machines that are incorporated into computers, that's the future. Where you just get, like, an electronic message and it's a fax.
Well, the thing is, with fax machines, it's different than modems or that sort of thing, is you could just fax from any fax machine to any other kind of fax machine.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't modem like that. You can't modem from two different kinds of computers.
Oh, well, I mean, not directly, but through a network you certainly can.
But it gets too complicated. You've already reached, you know, prices and money here.
Yeah, but,
I mean,
but being...
It's no longer a 15-second phone call.
But hang on a second. Being on the Internet, have you been on the Internet? Okay, the Internet is an international computer network, and every student at Stony Brook is able to get an account for free. Okay, are you a student at any college?
No,
okay.
I'm a senior in high school.
Okay, well, when you go to college, you'll be able to get an account, most likely, and that account will allow you to have free access to anybody who's on the network anywhere in the world. You can, for instance, today, I got a huge computer file from a computer system on the other side of the world. And it didn't cost anything because it's part of the Internet. I mean, it cost me what I use a particular public access system for, you know. That's all it costs, though.
Is is this anything like those Prodigy or any of those stupid
well,
things?
Well, Prodigy is kind of like a commercial application, but it's not really the network. It's not the magic of the network. The network itself is kind of like an educational thing, and it allows you to jump from point to point. Like, let's say you log into a computer here at Stony Brook. From that computer, you can jump over to Holland and log into another computer, and there's no appreciable difference in time, and there's no long-distance cost because it's all the same network, okay? And as long as you have an account over there, you can do that. Or you can have a real-time chat with somebody on the other side of the world as well, and, of course, everybody here. Or you can track down people. You can read newsletters of every different subject imaginable. And there's all kinds of newsletters going on. For instance, there's a Star Trek news group. I can ask a question, and within a couple hours, get an answer on just about anything. And not just that. Any topic in the world is covered. And that's what communications is all about. There's no real cost involved because, believe it or not, that's what our tax dollars go for, is for education and things like that.
There are toll-free numbers for everything that you've ever wanted. Information, there are government numbers. Oh,
yeah.
You ever call up those 800 government numbers for everything, all the different things that you could get?
Well, I know there's a lot of them. I don't know them all, but...
So many different free services out there.
Yeah, there are lots of things that aren't very well known.
But you got to find out these numbers.
But the Internet is something that people are slowly getting turned on to, but it's probably the biggest revolution in communications ever to hit us.
But who pays for this?
It's paid for through educational grants and things like that. And, of course, you know, it's what colleges do. You train people to become computer literate, and... It pays off when you train people to do these things. They're not just walking away and stealing something. They're giving something back by learning.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah, and it's happening all over the world. And it's even happening in the former Soviet Union. And, you know, I found out today that Albania is on the net. Yeah, they have a network address. I found the name of somebody in Albania that I can send a message to. And the great thing about this is you just send a message to somebody and they get it instantly. It's just there in their mailbox, and they can reply to you instantly, or they can start a chat with you.
We had a system, something like that, a couple years ago in school.
Uh-huh.
In high school. I remember going down to the library and checking the computer mailbox all the time and seeing, you know.
And who could log into that? Just people in your school?
Any public school.
So
that,
it was...
That was on the service. It was just about every school.
Uh-huh. Which school were you?
Smithtown.
Was this some kind of, it was like a, just a network serving all the high schools of Suffolk County?
Put out by, I think, Newsday, but I'm not sure.
Newsday. Well, imagine something like that where every single university in the world is hooked up.
The world, because this was New York State, and it was fantastic just, you know, getting stuff from being able to talk to people just somewhere else, you know, get messages and...
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
Being able to find out what's going on somewhere else and, you know... The world, that's fantastic.
Yeah, it's something that when you are able to provide something to people and allow them easy access to it, the possibilities are endless. If you charge fees, you know, for every little thing, like New York Telephone charges you for everything you do with your phone. You use *69. 75 cents on top of the call in the first place. That's ridiculous. Of course it doesn't cost them 75 cents every time you use *69. But the Internet is not like that. The Internet is run by nonprofit organizations, so they're not interested in making money, so they don't rip you off, and you get the best out of it. You make whatever it is you want to make out of it. You know, some people just play games on it. Some people learn a lot on it. Some people write. Some people communicate with other people.
I used to modem into some game services on Commodore computer, but no one has those anymore, so that's a waste.
No, you'd be surprised. A lot of people do have Commodores still.
Really?
And they're fiercely allegiant to them.
Why?
I don't know. I think it's kind of a defense mechanism, but they're Commodore. They don't call them Commodore user groups anymore. They call them Commodore support groups.
Commodore support.
Yeah, it's kind of like an emotional thing, and they I don't know.
Hey, I learned how to program on that. Come on.
Yeah, well, a lot of people did, and I guess they feel kind of you know, like they'd be betraying them.
Their eternity of whatever 8 years of learning every command.
Yeah, well, you know, I just retired an old computer not too long ago. A good friend of mine that, you know, was with me in the early days, but it just got too slow. So
computer.
I had to retire it. It was an MS-DOS computer, but it was, you know, an 8-bit computer, 8-bit slash 16-bit computer. It was kind of slow, you know, like about 8 megahertz. And now, you know, jumping up to 40 megahertz is a bit of a change.
We just got a Tandy laptop, more powerful, faster, more powerful, with a hard drive, cheaper than my dad's business computer.
Uh-huh. Oh, I mean, back in even 10, 15 years ago, the computers that filled the entire room required air conditioning cost $250,000. They're not as powerful as a PC these days. Or a Macintosh, you know? They're junk. You need special equipment to run them. You need special circuits for electricity. You need air conditioning. And they don't do as much.
Oh.
So this world is changing quickly.
I've been figuring out how to get the phone numbers to different computers just by when you're at the place, like at school or whatever,
right.
They have the phone jack, you know, right there, and it always has the phone number printed right on it.
Well, that's one simple way of doing it, for sure.
Well, I mean, there's also, you know, once you're in the computer, you could get to the phone line and just have it dial up 511 for you.
Uh-huh. Oh, you know about 511, huh?
I think I heard that here, actually.
Oh, okay.
I knew a different one that worked.
Yeah, 958 is the original one.
Yeah, 95. Yeah, that's the one that I used to do.
Yeah, and 511 works in a lot of places too. 511 will work if you have a digital switch, which means that you're capable of doing all kinds of amazing things with your phone.
Which is pretty much every public phone.
It's pretty much every place now, but there are some places that don't have it.
Well, all the new ones.
Yeah, the new ones. Pretty much everywhere around here is digital. And soon everywhere will be digital, everywhere will be fiber optic, and caller ID will be a national thing.
Well, once all the fiber optic gets into it, there'll be no video business anymore.
Yeah, you'll be able to
telephone
see films.
Company will be running it.
You'll be able to see films over the phone
it'll
wires.
Have better quality than cable.
Yeah, but you know, there's got to be some competition. If there is no competition,
you'll be able to get the exact movie you want.
Right.
And you want it, and they said you'll be able to use your phone at the same time.
Yeah. Oh, sure. Here at Stony Brook, we have lines that allow you to use a computer and be on the phone at the same time. So typical.
They do that. Well, I mean, there are four wires on the phone, but.
Well, fiber optic is different. You can do a lot more over fiber optic lines and without interfering with each other. You can have simultaneous voice conversations and computer conversations and things like that, and soon you'll be able to do video as well.
That's nuts. You could have so many things going on in the same thin piece of glass with light bouncing around in it.
Well, just look at a computer chip and think about how much is going on inside there.
Well, it's all just on-off switches.
Yeah, ones and zeros.
Ones and zeros.
That's all it is. But without competition on the local level, though, which is we don't have any competition. We have long-distance companies. We can pick MCI or Sprint or AT&T, but locally we just have New York Telephone and we don't have any choice. And until that changes, we're subject to their whims. They charge
us.
Why
don't we complain to someone?
Well, the Public Service Commission is who we're supposed to complain to, but they're not exactly the most competent people in the world. So we have to, you know, write letters and to call up radio programs and things like that.
So that's what I did. I called up a radio.
Oh, there you go. You took the first step.
Took the first step. I'm
yeah.
brain damaged.
Yeah. Well, that's what it's all about.
Okay. Well, I'll let you get to somebody else.
All right. It's been the most invigorating discussion.
Okay.
Thanks for calling.
Bye.
Boy, that really got into high tech and all, didn't it? Yeah. There's a lot of changes going on out there, and if you blink your eyes, you're gonna miss it. So don't blink your eyes. I mean, blink your eyes, but don't keep them closed. And don't say, you know, I can't stand it when people come up to me and say, oh, I don't know anything about computers and I can never learn. It's nonsense. Everybody can learn something. And it's nothing to be afraid of. It's nothing to be, you know, to think that you're incapable of doing. It's like riding a bicycle. It really is. You can fall off and you can get back on. It's no big deal. It's unlimited opportunities. The hardest thing is the initial point of access. And that's where it takes a little bit of imagination. But once you conquer that, there are no limits. It's 22 minutes after 1 o'clock. This is Brain Damage. Let's look at another fun fact from the Harper's Index. Oh, let's see. How about this? Since 1970, 390% increase in the number of American women working more than one job. 390%. And number of men working more than one job has only gone up 19% since 1970. How's that for equality? I still can't believe Korean noses cut off. 20,000 Korean noses. Oh, what are you going to do? I mean, I can't even fathom what that looks like. How about this? Percentage of American vegetarians who say they eat red meat once a week. 10%. 10% of you vegetarians out there are eating red meat once a week. I mean, how can you be a vegetarian if you do that? I don't know, Satan and Santa, that's my favorite. Only takes one letter to change them both into each other. 24 after 1, 9 degrees Celsius. Yeah, the temperature's going up, I don't know why.
So you won't do that, and you still do it. And then last week I wasn't home.
Last week you were what?
Last week I just wasn't home.
Oh, last week I wasn't on anyway, so there.
That's good.
Yeah.
Well, no, wait. I talked to Kevin 1 week.
Uh-huh.
When he was here. That was a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
And I haven't talked to anyone since then, but I tried to talk to you the week after.
It's, you know, radio is such a tricky business, isn't it?
You guys are so busy. Wait a minute. The radio's getting in the way.
The radio's getting in the way?
Yeah. When I hear you from both ends, it's annoying.
It's confusing, isn't it?
2 seconds.
Yeah. Yeah, so it sort of surrounds you and echoes and things like that. Yeah, it can be scary to some people. Some people break out in convulsions when they hear that.
Not convulsions. I just get confused.
Yeah. Well, you know, part of our purpose is to confuse, but only to a degree.
Yeah, confusion is good.
A little confusion is necessary.
Yeah. Okay, look, are you really going to tell me that email is education?
Email is education? It can be. But it depends what you use it for.
What?
It depends what you use it for, you know? I mean, look, I've communicated with people better using electronic mail than I have, you know, using the post office mail, certainly. And in some cases, even better than face-to-face discussions.
So have I.
Conversations or whatever.
I mean, you can waste so much time on there, too.
Well, it depends what you mean by waste time. Yeah, if you're just playing games over and over again and you're not really learning anything, I guess that could be a waste of time. But if you're actually communicating and writing and thinking and creating, that's not a waste of time. You're actually, you might be hurting your eyes a little bit, but you can always do things about that.
Yeah, I've had fun with it, that's all I can say.
Uh-huh. What kind of system do you use?
Actually, I'm not on email because I don't have a modem right now.
Uh-huh.
Doesn't help me, I have to get one before I go away to school.
Yeah.
So I've been accessing people through my friend's computers.
Uh-huh. No, modems are pretty cheap, though.
Oh, I know. It depends how fast.
Yeah.
Gotta get fast enough.
Well, you can get a 2400 baud, which is more than enough for most people, for well under $100 these days.
Yeah. And then there's phone bill.
There's what?
Phone bill.
Phone bills? Well, it depends. You know, if you have a local access point and you can hop onto the internet from there, it's the cost of a local call, and that's it.
Can you do that from here?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, I'm not on campus, so it doesn't
matter. Uh-huh. Well, you can. I mean, it depends how close you are to wherever it is that your point of access is. For instance, if you were a student here at Stony Brook, it would be a local phone call to Stony Brook. If you're a student somewhere else, obviously you'd be close to that place that you were a student at.
Well, I'm 5 miles or so from the campus.
Uh-huh.
It's in the middle of nowhere.
What, here is the middle of nowhere?
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's what some people say, I know.
No, I think it depends how much time you spend here. I've spent my entire life here.
Yeah? And you feel it's the middle of nowhere, huh?
Absolutely.
So what kind of place is not the middle of nowhere?
Well, let's put it this way. I'm really into going to Washington, D.C. for the next 4 years or so.
Really?
Really.
D.C.'s a nice place. I was just there, actually.
You were at the Hacker Convention. Someone told me that you had a story, I guess?
Yeah, sort of.
You and your friends got into some trouble there or something?
Well, no, not really. Actually, what happened was, we have monthly meetings. The hackers have monthly meetings all throughout the country.
Uh-huh.
and the one in Washington, D.C. in November found themselves surrounded by mall cops, you know, those rent-a-cop type people. And they insisted that they submit to searches and give all their names and things like that. And, you know, they were intimidated into doing this. And they contacted us in New York, and we made some phone calls, and some reporters called the mall people Monday morning to ask them what that was all about, and the mall people said the Secret Service told them to do it. And, you know, that's when the scandal started, because the Secret Service is not supposed to do things like that, and that's why they got the mall cops to do it, because the Secret Service could never get away with that, so they got somebody else to do their dirty work for them. And the reason I went down was simply to show support, and that's why a lot of other people came down, too. But it was, you know, it's something you gotta stand up for things like that.
Absolutely.
I mean, you gotta stand up against things like that, but you gotta stand up for your rights.
Well, I've said before, sometimes protesting is more patriotic than giving in.
Oh, most times, I think. You know? Because when you're protesting, you're at least thinking, and most of the times you're thinking, and you're aware that, you know, you're going against the grain a little bit, but, you know, you're answering to a higher authority. You're answering to your conscience.
You have to be willing to take flak for that, though.
Yeah, sure. Well, what's wrong with that, you know?
I don't know.
There's nothing wrong with it. People always like to shy away from confrontation, and to a degree, that's good. I mean, it's stupid to get into fights about stupid things, you know, meaningless things. But important things you shouldn't just shy away from, like, you know, don't get into a fight over whose car is faster, but do stand up for people who are, you know, being killed in other parts of the world and say this is wrong and not just, you know, turn the newspaper to another page.
Guilty as charged.
What, do you do that?
I don't like looking into Texas. I will read the articles most of the time, though.
As long as you read and know what's going on, at least you can't be accused of being ignorant, you say?
Oh, no, that's the least of my worries. Being ignorant.
Uh-huh.
I hate ignorant people.
Yeah.
Yes, I hate them with a passion. Actually, I just realized the last time I talked to you was the week before the election.
Uh-huh. So things have changed quite a bit since then.
Apparently so, because actually I tried to call you the week afterwards to find out what you had to say, and
yeah,
never got through. And then I tried to find out what happened to Mr. Bush and Mr. Quayle, but never managed to find that out either.
Yeah, Mr. Quayle's gone. Completely gone, you know?
I'm so devastated. I'm absolutely in tears.
12 years of Republican rule, just over. It seems like it was going on forever. I can't remember non-Republican rule.
I was reading a book recently, and one of the chapters says that the main character, his memories start with Ronald Reagan.
Uh-huh.
I must admit, I'm in the same boat.
It is. So depressing, isn't it?
Well, yeah, I was born in 1975,
uh-huh,
so most of the things I remember happened under the Republican.
Uh-huh.
But I can tell you what I was doing when President Reagan got shot, when the space shuttle was launched, when Anwar Sadat got shot,
uh-huh,
when the Pope got shot.
I forget John Lennon.
So I cried the night John Lennon was shot. I was 5.5 years old.
Uh-huh.
And I knew who John Lennon was, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was talking to my friend who's obsessed with the Beatles.
The anniversary of that just came up.
12th anniversary is December 8th.
Yeah, I just realized it the other day. It still hits you, you know.
It was a multi-generational thing.
It's true. Something we won't see again for quite some time. I can't think of anybody that, that was more important.
One of those major things. You can't grow up without listening to the Beatles at least once in your life.
Not just the Beatles, but, you know, John in particular was, I don't know, the conscience, I think, of the Beatles.
Passion. There's so much passion in him.
Yeah. And plus, his entire solo career was pretty energetic, too, with a lot of meaning. As you know, you oppose that to Paul McCartney. Silly love songs, that pretty much sums it up.
And what about my friend and yours, Ringo Starr?
Well, you know, Ringo never really said he was anything on the level of McCartney or Lennon. I mean, he was, you know, he's fun to have in films and things like that, and he does fun songs.
And he does, what's that show he does? The television show.
Yeah, well, he's like a train conductor or something.
It's not Thomas the Tank, Shining Time Station.
Yeah, yeah, he's good for that kind of thing.
I like that show,
yeah,
too.
He's, you know, into children's stories and you know, fun like that. But, you know, he's not really a serious musician. He really isn't. Not on that level, anyway. Maybe it's unfair because he was with, you know, giants like Lennon and McCartney and even Harrison to a degree, but, you know, I don't think anybody's put out as many bad albums as Ringo Starr, to be honest. Especially in the late 70s and early 80s, man, they were coming out like every couple of years, and each one was the worse than the other. I could go back and I could find some of them, because I know those haven't disappeared from this place, and well, you know, I wouldn't do that to the audience.
I don't know. I don't think anything's disappeared from there.
No, we probably just lost it all because there's so much
No,
space.
People just walk off of things.
Well, isn't that the same thing as disappearing?
No. Disappearing is misplacing.
Oh, well, we do that too.
I know.
Yeah, we misplace quite a few things.
Uh-huh. I've noticed. I was going to complain tonight.
Okay, go ahead.
The pretentiousness of the Christmas season is getting to me.
Yeah, oh, you and me.
Well, see, I work in a retail store.
Uh-huh.
And I was noticing tonight that we have absolutely no decorations.
Oh, really? Well, that's good.
We have them in stock, but...
No, I mean, it's good to be different in that regard, because I'm getting kind of sick of it, to be honest.
Well, I can't decide whether that is good or bad.
Yeah.
I mean, I suppose it's good because at least I don't have to deal with them. I mean, most of them are so tacky.
Look, I don't mind decorations, but how about a little alternative decorations? Let me give you an example. You watch the program Northern Exposure at all?
Yes, I do.
Okay, did you see the episode where they dealt with Thanksgiving?
No, I didn't.
Okay, Thanksgiving, for some reason, I don't know if this is based in truth or anything, but the native people up there in Alaska had a custom of throwing tomatoes at every white person. And it was just, you know, kind of a good-natured thing, but they did it to relieve their hostility at you know, the terrible things the white man has done. Now, they decorated their entire community, but they decorated it differently for Thanksgiving than we ever did. They had skulls and kind of like this Halloween outlook to things. But, you know, they still had a feast and everything like that, but it was definitely an alternative way of celebrating. And I'd like to see more alternative ways of celebrating this time of year as well. Because, you know, I mean, Bing Crosby and you know, It's a Wonderful Life. I'm ready to kill someone if I hear these things one more time.
Jimmy Stewart doesn't even watch It's a Wonderful Life.
Yeah, I read that same article.
Did you read it?
Yeah, of course. I'm up on those things.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, he might glance at a couple of his favorite scenes, but, you know, that's it. Hasn't watched the whole thing in about 20 years, right?
Mm-hmm.
I haven't watched the whole thing in about 20 years either, and I don't think I want to.
Well, I can't say it's been quite 20 years for me, because I haven't even had my 20 years yet.
Well, then, yeah, you would be wrong to say that.
But I've seen it once.
Uh-huh.
Some guy thought I was 14 at work today. That bugged me.
Someone thought you were 14?
Yeah.
Wow. Well, maybe they were thinking dog years or something. No, that would be worse, wouldn't it?
That is worse.
Yeah, that would make you about two.
Yeah.
Well, okay, I'm sure they didn't mean it the way it sounded, even though it's hard to explain that.
I caught that, but, like, I mean, I got a gift from my grandparents today, and I have to do, you know, the customary Christmas shopping.
Yeah.
But it was so bad that I took my best friend with me to buy her a gift, and I was like, okay, look, you told me what you wanted, you go find it, I'm here, but you can't have it this week.
Uh-huh.
It's gotten to that point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just think we need some fresh ideas, you know, because this whole Christmas shopping thing is stale. Mm-hmm. It really is. You go out and you get things for people that, you know, they pretend they like it, but it's really nothing they want. You know, it's just a symbolic kind of a thing. But if it's a symbolic kind of a thing, why spend so much money?
Right.
You know, people really spend a lot of money on this. And, you know, obviously people are hard up this this particular time of the millennium. So we need, I don't know, more creative ways of celebrating. And we should celebrate more. I'm not saying we shouldn't celebrate, but we should celebrate more things.
Party on, Eric.
Yeah, exactly.
So what are you doing for Christmas?
Not really sure, to be honest. I'd much rather prefer spending the holidays with friends than with relatives. I just would. Because, I don't know, you can just have more fun with friends. And, you know, where is it written that holidays have to be with relatives? I mean, I don't know. I guess people have different views on that. But I just think you should mix it up a little bit more. Maybe friends and relatives. But not just relatives, you know?
Being Jewish, I kind of miss out on, like, kind of having to spend the holidays with relatives.
Uh-huh.
Well, at least, like, the Christmas holidays.
Well, I'm sure you get it in all different days.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
I get it at Thanksgiving, like everyone else, and twice in the fall and once in the spring.
Yeah. A fair amount of guilt, right?
Oh, sure.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
That's a major part of it.
And disgusting food.
Uh-huh. Well, yes, I guess some people would view it that way.
Well, no. The problem is, I don't eat meat.
Uh-huh.
All we ever eat on holidays, and it's like, I eat broccoli. I get away with that.
Yeah. Like beef and broccoli hold the beef.
Yeah. Well, no, actually, it's funny. I told someone that my favorite vegetable is broccoli. You don't like George Bush, do you?
Well, you know, we just really haven't hit it off.
That was my immediate response.
Yeah, it's like, you know, I don't know, maybe a weekend at Camp David would do us both some good, but to be honest, I just haven't really, I haven't tried enough, I don't think. I don't think he has either, but I'm not going to criticize.
I had passionate lovemaking with George Bush, right?
You know, I never really thought about it, but now that I do think about it, nah.
Oh,
no, I just can't.
Yeah, it just kind of makes me...
I did think about it, too. Just now, I did
like
think about it.
When I said it, or what?
No, when you said it, I did picture it. I, you know, because I do try to picture things when people give me something to picture.
Well, that was a pretty vivid visual thing.
It's pretty vivid,
can't
I'll say that.
Getting it on the...
It's vivid, all right.
What?
It's vivid. It might even be traumatic.
Convulsing.
Are you picturing it too right now?
I'm cringing at the thought.
Oh, okay.
Ready to throw up.
Yeah, well, you know, maybe he was picturing something like that in Japan, but I don't know.
Maybe he's just, I'm being a little too raunchy here.
Yeah, and you know, it is the president, so
he fell into another guy's lap.
He did.
Definite
breach of etiquette there.
What?
A definite breach of etiquette, and the Japanese take that kind of thing very seriously.
Well, just conjure up some images of what happens when someone else's head falls into someone else's lap.
Yeah, I conjure up all kinds of images, and when they're throwing up, even more images get conjured up. Yeah.
I didn't even think about the throwing up part.
Well, that's a pretty big part of it, I thought.
Oh, that's really nasty.
Yeah. When's the last time someone threw up in your lap?
What?
When's the last time someone threw up in your lap? And babies don't count.
Babies don't count. Neither
do cats, because they do that too.
No, I've been lucky. My cats haven't thrown up in my lap.
Uh-huh.
I had a litter of kittens in them, but that's
yeah.
Kind of slimy. That's about it.
What, having a litter of kittens?
Yeah, in your lap.
Yeah, what, they gave birth there?
Yeah.
You mean you had kittens being born in your lap?
Can I tell you, that's got to be one of the most amazing things you'll ever see.
Well, I don't know about how it looks, but it must feel interesting, you know?
It's wet and cold and slimy.
Uh-huh.
It doesn't feel that great, but it's just to watch it is really nice.
Well, yeah. How did you convince the mother cat to be on your lap while she was giving birth?
She landed there.
Landed there? That implies that she was flying somehow. What?
She jumped into my lap.
Jumped into your lap, huh?
Kitten sort of... Then it was all wet all over my lap, and then the kitten fell out. And
wow.
That's that what happened. I don't think she was planning on it.
Wow, that's quite something. Now, you notice how when cats give birth to kittens that they're always purring. You
yeah.
Understand? It's and you're wondering, is it because they're comfortable and happy? But I think it's more some sort of signal to the kittens.
Purring, they've discovered, is not a sign of contentment. They just don't know what it means now.
They don't know what it means at all, huh?
They don't know what it means at all. I saw a cow being born, too.
I hope that wasn't in your lap.
No, that was in my lap. That was on a farm.
Uh-huh.
That was really awesome.
Yeah? Well, the whole birth thing, you know, is a pretty, pretty awesome thing.
It is. I mean, sometimes don't you wish you could remember your own?
Yeah, you know, I was thinking about that, and, you know, some people are telling me that it's kind of a cyclical thing, you know, the whole birth thing. You can't remember it, but I don't know.
My sophomore English teacher had a thing for rebirth, and it was kind of interesting the way she did it. But the hard part is put a bunch of high school sophomores in a room and try and explain birth to them and use the appropriate words. And
yeah.
Think about what your reaction is.
Well, that's why you got to come up with new words every year. You just change around the words every year, and then there's no jokes. You know, you can't... Because you don't know what the words are going to be. They keep them sealed up in an envelope, and they're not open until the class begins.
Well, her two other obsessions were sex and Christ imagery.
Uh-huh.
But none of the three ever seemed to occur in the same story.
The yeah.
wildest thing was reading D.H. Lawrence. We read a couple of stories with horses in them.
Uh-huh. Was that Women in Love?
No, we read The Rocking Horse.
Uh-huh.
and I can't even remember the other ones. But, I mean, horses had something to do with masturbation.
What, horses, period?
Horses. Every story you read that there was a horse in had something to do with masturbation.
Well, yeah, I mean, I could sort of theorize as to why that is.
I can theorize, too, but
yeah.
It's just not the most pleasant image to conjure up.
Well, you know, it depends how you're conjuring it up, I suppose, but...
All I could think of when I talked about that was that Saturday Night Live skit with the... Oh, who was it? I can't even remember.
I don't get to see Saturday Night.
Horse.
Sorry?
Maybe it was Patrick Swayze on the horse. The Haunted Bond skit. And they were fantasizing about some guy on a horse, one of them. It was a couple of years ago.
Uh-huh. Well, I can only imagine what that was like.
Let's see. Monty Python was on a couple of weeks ago. I still haven't gotten over Monty.
Haven't gotten over it?
I've been obsessed with Monty Python since I started talking to you.
Yeah, it's funny. I just watched a Monty Python episode a couple of days ago. And it's the first one I've seen in maybe 5 years.
Really?
Yeah. And, you know, it's still the same.
It is. You have to get into it. It's one of those things that just doesn't have any meaning into it. You can appreciate it. It's not funny unless you have a certain perverse sense of humor.
Yeah, you gotta have that British style of humor.
I didn't appreciate it until I started hanging out with a lot of British people.
Uh-huh.
And then I just was like, wow.
Yeah.
One of my favorite Monty Python things, though, is in The Meaning of Life. There's a couple, actually, in that movie. Like, they're... I don't know. That's a funny movie.
Yeah, tell us about them. You're just gonna leave it at that.
Tell you about the scene. Okay, first of all, the one where the bed pops out of the wall.
Yeah.
Watching them in the bed just didn't bug me out. I thought when the bed popped out in the middle of the classroom, it was just one of those things that you can't get over.
It's pretty funny, and, you know, I guess traumatic for the kids, too, to see something like that happen.
Well, to think about it, how many people want to see your teacher making love to someone else?
I don't know if it was actually making love, but...
I wouldn't use those words. Okay. It was kind of like...
I mean, the whole reason why it was funny was because it was so disgusting.
No, it wasn't disgusting. It was just...
Yeah, with those people, it was disgusting, I thought.
The way he kind of was just so mechanical about it was disgusting.
Right. So, pay attention to this. This is going to be on a test or something.
One, two.
Yeah.
Right. And the other scene that I thought was a riot... Was the one at the beginning with the Catholics and the condoms.
Uh-huh.
Someone was talking about that one the other day, and they're like trying to imitate the whole French tickler thing.
Uh-huh.
And it was just got a kick out of
that. Well, believe me, real life can be funnier. Especially when you have those subjects, teachers, Catholics, condoms, all those kind of things.
It's like condoms.
The possibilities are endless.
The best thing is where I work, when my friends who I've grown up with my entire life are coming into my condoms and they're looking at me like they don't want to do it.
Oh, you mean you're in a position where you sell condoms?
I am.
Wow.
I am. Now,
why is it they always keep them behind the counter?
They don't. They're not.
Oh, okay. Well, in most places they do, though.
Okay, but they're not.
All right, but most places they do. And it's very embarrassing for a lot of people because they have to ask for them by name and it's, you know, hey,
well,
do that.
Can you say it?
Can I say what? Can I have a condom, please? Yeah, I can say that.
See?
Or, you know, and I can even say the brand names. But, you know, there's certain things, like, and I'll say this again, I've said it for the last few years, the local 7-Eleven next to the campus does not sell condoms, and I don't know why.
Well, because you can get them on campus.
But that's not I mean, you can get all kinds of things on campus. Why don't they, and supposing somebody lives off campus, you know?
They used to, didn't they?
No, I don't think they ever did.
I don't know. Remember.
Not the one across the street from the campus. Because
that's where I go.
I mean, I might be wrong. They might be hiding them someplace where I can't possibly see them.
I thought they used to have them.
So? They do.
They do?
I don't know if they still
did.
Do. I thought they used
All right, I'm informed that they did. Well, how long ago?
Oh, God. I don't even know.
Yeah? I mean, 5 years ago or...
Years ago, maybe?
Not that long ago.
Yeah.
Years.
Where'd they keep them?
Behind the counter. They still have this, like...
Behind the counter?
Yeah, behind the counter.
I'll look. You know, next time I'm there, I'll definitely look. You know, but I don't think they sell them anymore. I don't think so.
I don't know.
And you know, I don't know if you saw the newspaper this week, and this is something that I think everybody should listen to. the predictions for AIDS, it's really scary. They say by a million
people will have it by the year.
Right, you read it. I think 2010 or so.
My health teacher gave it to us.
A billion people, and what percentage of AIDS is contracted through heterosexual sex?
I don't remember that one. I might have my notebook, though.
85%. So, you know, I'm pretty fed up with these people that seem to think it's, you know, it's only in the gay community. If anything, it's less in that community than any other community now, because at least they were educated about it from the beginning. But 85%, a billion people, one in five people by, you know, a little bit after the beginning of the next century. So hopefully it won't reach that stage. They'll get a cure of some sort. But if things go the way they're going now, it's not going to be a pretty picture. So, yeah, it can affect anybody.
I don't know. Before I exactly understood a lot of things about sex, I knew about AIDS. Because
that's good. Don't you think it's better that way than...
Because I was in, like, third or fourth grade when Rock Hudson died. And after that, it just became a big thing.
Right. Yeah, I mean, whenever you have Magic Johnson, Freddie Mercury, you know, they have all these people that that you lose or, you know, are in danger of being lost... As a result of that, it heightens the awareness. It's a shame it has to go that way.
One of my heroes died of complications from AIDS.
Really?
Really. Keith Haring, the artist.
Uh-huh.
I have an obsession with him that he died.
Yeah. A lot more people are going to be affected.
I know. No, it's, and you know, the scary thing is, most of them are in the artistic community.
Yeah.
And that's just so sad.
Yeah. Well, actually, if it's any, you know, comfort, it's going to even out. And reach a lot more people in a lot more different, I mean, construction workers and train conductors and all kinds of people.
No. The point is, everyone is at risk.
Everyone is, right. Everyone is. So you just got to, and it's something that a little education, you don't ever have to worry about as long as you remain educated and know the precautions.
Well, no, it's not that you don't have to worry.
Well, you don't have to worry personally. You don't have to worry. I mean, if you know what you're doing and if you take the precautions, you know, for the most part, I mean, 99 out of 100 times or however many the percentage is that taking precautions works for, you know, you can pretty much rest assured. I mean, obviously, anything can happen.
Obviously. I mean, you don't always have control over every situation.
Well, you should try to maintain control. That's, you know, especially if something like that. You know, because you're talking about life and death here.
Oh, I know. I know very well.
Yeah, so I don't know how many high school kids really are aware of that. You know, because in that particular, it's the most dangerous time of life because you think you're immortal. You think nothing can touch you.
You know, I'm sick of hearing that because you only believe in immortality until you've tried to kill yourself.
Uh-huh.
And then you stop believing.
Yeah, but what about all those people that haven't tried to kill themselves? And there's some of them left.
The scary
thing
is that number that have is a lot more than people would like to admit.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, that is definitely true.
But I doubt that you believe in immortality until you try to kill yourself.
Uh-huh. Well, you know, it's something that I guess we all have to deal with at some point, one way or another.
And you're abnormal if you haven't thought about it, right?
Sorry?
And you're abnormal if you haven't thought about it, right?
Probably. I don't know. Well, it's hard to say what's normal and what's not normal. You know, I don't really like those words because I don't think I'm a good judge of what's normal.
I had a phase where I insisted that there was no true definition for normal because normal doesn't have an exact position on the scale.
No, it's normal is relative.
Exactly.
You know? What's normal in one group of people is completely crazy for another group. So how could something be right or wrong in that particular definition?
So who gets to define what's right and wrong?
Oh, people in suits and ties in Washington that have no conception of what's going on. why break with tradition, you know? But, those of us who live here know better.
Rebel? Does rebel sound like a good word?
Yeah, it's an interesting word.
Question authority?
I don't know, you're getting a bit, you know...
Sarcastic?
I know, a bit dangerous here.
Me?
Well, suggestive. Young people might be listening that might be taking you seriously and might even now be questioning authority inside their minds. We wouldn't want that now, would we? Would we?
Would we?
I don't know. Well, you think about that.
I found that the more I question authority, the better off I am.
Uh-huh. Well, it sounds almost socialist, but yeah, it's...
It's not socialist, because you know why?
Why?
In order to question authority, I have to know about something to make an informed decision.
Well, yeah, that's true to some degree, but there are people that just question no matter what, and they don't know what they're talking about. Don't forget that.
No, I question whether I think something is right.
Uh-huh.
I won't make a decision about it until I have at least... enough facts to feel comfortable.
You know, I always say, and this is what any good journalist will do, they will always assume, whenever they're being told something by somebody, that they're being lied to. And you must always assume that, you know, when you're not somebody you trust inherently, that somebody is not telling you the truth, and, you know, just look out for signs that they're not. Don't trust somebody and believe everything they say without questioning them.
Oh, but, I know, because I write, too, and... if you take everything at face value, you get the short end of the stick.
That's true. Listen, I'm going to try to get to a couple more calls.
Good, because I got to get off the phone.
All right. Well, thanks for calling.
You're welcome.
Hang in there.
Bye.
It's 1:54, and I just need something for a second. Oh, I feel better. Okay. I don't know what it is about this time of year, but I need to hear the Dead Kennedys every now and then, and I don't know, lately I just needed to hear them more and more. Good morning.
Hey, hello, is this brain damage?
Yes, it is.
Hey, what's up? I've been trying to call all night.
All night? Well, then, this must be your lucky night, because you succeeded in calling.
Yeah.
Do you always succeed in what you try to do?
Not really.
Well, this is an exception, then, isn't it?
Yeah, we were talking about the show during dinner.
During what?
Supper.
Dinner, okay. I thought you said Diana, and I was trying to figure out who that was.
Sorry.
Yeah.
I just came up from Atlanta.
Atlanta, oh, yeah, okay. Diana and Atlanta. Okay, yeah. Yeah?
And you got weird shows up here.
We do have weird shows. And you know, they're all like this.
Yeah?
They are. Yeah, every radio station throughout the entire dial, you know, we call ourselves alternative, but, you know, the secret is there is no alternative. I mean, we're not an alternative to anything because we're all the same.
Yeah, well, I'm an internist on WGHR in Marietta.
WGHR Marietta. In Marietta.
Yeah.
Which is in Georgia.
Yeah.
Okay, you see, I've done my research here. Okay. Marietta, Georgia. Right. Okay. Yes?
Oh, man, we just play album-oriented rock.
A-O-R.
A-O-R.
Yeah.
But, no, I'm just, like, you have a station called Z100?
Z100, yes, we do.
We're
very, very proud that station is where it is.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Why?
Well, because we're here.
Yeah.
And they're not.
I got a few jokes.
You got a joke?
Yeah.
Well, you know, we could use a joke.
Okay.
All right.
All right,
Okay.
Now,
I'm ready when you are.
710 people to go to a Malcolm X movie.
710 people
yep.
to go to a Malcolm X... Well, first of all, you won't be getting them to do that anywhere around here because the biggest theater we have here holds about 20 people.
Okay.
And it has a TV screen instead of a theater. But never mind that. But, okay, let's just say we did get 710
people.
Now,
they're all black, right?
They are?
Yep.
Why?
Because they are. It's a joke.
All right. This better be a good joke.
All right. Now, you got write down 710 on a piece of paper.
Write down 710 on a piece of... You're asking a lot, you know that?
I'm sorry.
All right, hold on. I'll do it. Okay. Write down 710. My ones are kind of weird looking, but I...
Okay. All right, now... Now, say they all die. They all get shot, right? You know what you'll get?
I don't know, but somehow I don't think I want to find out.
Turn the paper around.
Good morning. The management would like to apologize for those last two calls. Good morning. Anybody there? Hello? Make that three. Good morning.
Hello.
Yes.
Hello. My name is Stephen Blair, and I'd just like to say hello.
Well, you did it very well.
Thank you.
And do you say hello often to other people?
Yes. I'd like to say hello to Vinnie Bodo.
Okay.
I'd like to say that Madonna does not have dreadlocks.
Well, thanks for clearing that up for us. We
Yes.
We definitely... Definitely needed to have that cleared up.
Oh, I'm sorry. I shut off this TV. These Rogaine commercials.
Why are you watching TV if you're calling a radio show? You know, it's kind of like betrayal.
I was listening for a while, but then, they had some really long calls.
Yeah?
So.
You were going to say boring, weren't you?
No,
But you thought it, didn't you?
Not me.
All right.
I have a question, though.
What's the question?
Whatever happened to Sammy?
You know, that's a question...
You know,
that has been asked throughout the ages, and I don't know if we're ever going
to
get a straight answer.
I'm telling you, I heard he got put in jail for something. I don't know. And then
Sammy in jail?
Newsletters about the World Gravity Commission.
I can't imagine Sammy in jail. I'm sorry. I just can't picture that. Good morning. Yeah. Wait a minute. Is this the same caller that picked up the phone like that before? It is, isn't it?
What?
Didn't you call and pick up the phone just like that before? Isn't that the person that we had the discussion with about this?
What?
No, come on. You can admit it. I'm not going to get angry.
Well?
Yeah? Did you call before? Yes or no? Ah. What do you take that as? Good morning.
Yeah. Hello, Larry.
How you doing? You got a hum on your line.
No, that's my radio.
No, that's a hum. I know a hum in the line when I hear one. That's a hum.
Hold on, wait.
Hear that? That's a hum.
Yeah, that's a hum. I apologize, you were right.
Hold on, can you be quiet for a second? I want to get the hum out over the air. It's a nice hum you got there.
Yeah, I know, it's very... I like my hum.
Does New York Telephone charge you extra for that?
I don't know, I'll have to ask them sometime.
Well, don't let them know you have it if they're not.
You know, you mentioned those Korean noses.
Yeah.
You know what that reminded me of?
What did it remind you of?
The nose from Sleeper.
You know, I was sort of, I guess, thinking about it. Of course, that's much bigger. I imagine it's much bigger.
After it was run over by the steamroller, too.
Uh-huh. But, I mean, you're talking 20,000 noses. That's got to be huge. And plus, you know, they're 400 years old, so imagine all the flesh isn't really, you know... Well, I don't want to think about it, to be honest.
Well, I would just like to say, and I'm...